This is Tom Warren inviting you to listen to 5 Gospel Minutes. Now today I want to discuss with you the passage which I read from Acts chapter 9, verse 1, beginning on through verse 18. Now this is the account of a man who in all good conscience persecuted the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. He did this because he believed that Jesus Christ was an impostor. He did not believe he was the Son of God. He therefore believed that the disciples of Christ were misled and that they were teaching falsehood. He was doing what he thought was right, but he was as dead wrong as he possibly could be. He was a religious man who believed in the one true God, yet he had not yet believed in Christ. And you'll remember how he persecuted the disciples, the members of the church, even putting them in prison, punishing them in various ways. And he's on his way to Damascus to bind all that called upon his name there. And suddenly a great light shone round about him, so bright that it blinded him. And he heard a voice speaking, saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" Realizing no doubt that this was some divine intervention, but not knowing exactly the details, he asked, "Who art thou, Lord?" And there came back the answer that surely must have struck him to the very depths of his soul, for the answer was, "I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest." It is now clear to Saul that he was wrong. But there is absolutely no effort upon his part to try to justify what he had done that was wrong. He made no excuse whatever. His immediate intention is to do whatever is necessary to be forgiven for the terrible sins of which he has been guilty. And so he asks, "What shall I do, Lord?" Now note carefully that the Lord Jesus Christ did not tell him what to do. Further, note carefully that he did not tell him that he was already saved, in spite of the fact that he was now a believer, in spite of the fact that he repented of his sins, in spite of the fact that he'd already confessed Christ. Christ knew he was not saved, and Saul knew he wasn't saved. But Jesus didn't tell him what to do to be saved, even though Saul asked what to do. Why? Because Jesus has given the job of preaching the gospel unto men. He has given the church the marching orders of preaching the gospel. But he did tell him to go into the city of Damascus, and there it would be told him what he must do. Now, I hear many preachers today telling people that there isn't anything for them to do. That if you were to do anything to be saved, it would nullify grace. But obviously this is false, because Jesus said, "You go into the city and there it will be told you what you must do." What you must do for what? What he must do in order to be saved of the heinous sin of having persecuted Christ by persecuting his church. And so he goes into the city for 3 days and nights. He will neither eat food nor drink water. Is that the picture of a man who is rejoicing because of salvation from sin? Is that the man who is saying, "I have found salvation, I have found the way of life"? No, it is not. Here is a man who is in agony of soul. He knows he has done wrong, and he knows he is not yet forgiven. He knows that someone must yet come and tell him what he must do in order to be saved. In the meantime, the Lord appears to a man, a disciple named Ananias, and tells him to go to Saul to tell him what to do. At first, because of Paul's record of persecution, demurs, but the Lord will have nothing of it and sends him on. He comes to Saul, lays his hands upon him, there falls from his eyes as it were scales, no doubt to make clear to him that this is now the man who was to tell him what he must do. Now what did he tell this believer, this penitent believer who had confessed, but who was not yet saved? What did he tell him to do? "And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on his name." My friends, you do not call on the name of the Lord for salvation by lifting up your eyes and hands to heaven and cry, "O Lord, save me." But you do it by obeying the gospel. And the culminating act of it is to be immersed in water as a penitent believer unto the remission of your sins. Then you will have proof of pardon, for you will know you will have done what the Bible plainly teaches one must do in order to be saved.